Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Your insurance company may have written your policy, but they don't decide the law. Call the Wallace Firm now at 844-844-WINS. By holding insurance accountable, the Wallace Firm is helping our community rebuild. That's 844-844-WINS or visit wallacewins.com, proud partner of Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, Laker fans, appreciate you guys tuning in. Looking forward to tonight's show. Allie Clifton from Spectrum Sportsnet will join the show at 7. Brad Turner from the LA Times coming up at 7:30. And then Michael Lee, The Athletic. Kyrie Irving isn't being an agitator. He's doing his job. He's coming up at 8:30. So obviously we're going to talk a lot of Lakers. We'll talk a lot of the NBA tonight. This is, man, just how the emotions of the NBA, just kind of the ups and the downs, and trying to figure out Friday. We're starting to get word. I was doing the Sleeva show. You know, what that conference call was about with Kyrie Irving, led by Kyrie Irving and Avery Bradley, obviously guard for the Los Angeles Lakers. So the last couple of days have been interesting. I know myself, and I'm sure many out there are taking the time to just to follow and see, okay, what is the latest that's going on? All right, well, the NBA, are we good? Or no. This is something that could be I don't want to say an issue because, you know, at the end of the day, the reason why players are voicing their opinion, it's for a very important reason. So whether that's for social injustice and trying to find ways to not distract from that, not distract from, you know, Black Lives Matter, or it's more concerns about COVID-19. So this is what I want to do. I'm gonna put out a couple different scenarios, and I genuinely just want to hear from listeners on what they think would be better off, and I'm not talking just for the NBA. I'm talking about this movement that's going on right now, obviously across the country and different parts of the world. I'm going to play out a couple different scenarios, all right? So what if the players in the NBA decided to sit out? What if that happens? What do you think would be more powerful to spread the message of social reform? So that's my question. My question is, would it be more powerful to have games, use the platforms of the league, use the audience, and come up with ways to highlight the racism in this country and around the world? So let me give an example. If there's games going on, and I think this is definitely going to happen in Orlando if we get to this point and we get to, you know, that point of the season where we actually get a chance to complete the regular season and then get into the playoffs and go from there. It seems like this entire year has just been, you know, obviously battles from a sports perspective trying to finish the season. But think of all the different ways that the NBA can use their platform. Mace was just mentioning, Ireland was just talking about how this golf event over the weekend absolutely killed it as far as ratings go. 50% increase. It was as good as they've done in years. Okay, well, you can only imagine what the NBA would look like because that's not golf. And we know how popular the NBA is. We know it's only growing as a sport. We know how popular the individual players are, and I don't have to sit here and justify just how big it would be for the NBA, finishing off their season and then going into the playoffs. But let's say they use these games, and during these games, every one of them, John said one idea, you play the national anthem. You obviously, if a player wants to kneel, that player has every right to do it. If they want to wear patches that say Black Lives Matter, whatever movement these, you know, the league comes up with as far as ideas go, and they push that and the players are comfortable with it and say, okay, yep, this is the type of platform we think we could help create change. We could continue to have that movement going. We're not distracting. I mean, there's going to be distractions. There's no question about that. Just no matter what, when sports comes back, there will be distractions. There just will be. But that's one scenario that can play out. Or would it be more powerful that players in the NBA decide together that the most powerful way to get the message across, to show unity, is to collectively take away the game and any distractions by saying, you know what, we are not going to play out this season? I don't have the answer, by the way, but I think it's a great question. I understand that question is important. So for all those who were so quick to bash Kyrie Irving for the last couple of days for proposing that question, having the phone calls. I don't think that was fair. And I think really what it came down to, they didn't like the messenger. They didn't like who was delivering the message in Kyrie Irving. But let me also remind you, it's not just Kyrie Irving. And I think it's a fair conversation to have. Would a stand that has never happened in sports before, where billions are on the line, would that turn heads more and help further fight the fight? Why can't that question be asked? I think it's a fair question. If there's ever a season where things have been, you know, so screwed up to begin with, simply because of what the world is facing, it's not going to end if we don't finish the year out. Listen, I'm as big of an NBA fan as it comes, all right? So I don't have to sit here and explain to everybody how much I love Lakers basketball and how much I love the NBA. We're all excited to try and finish the season. But a player questioning by finishing the season, it's a distraction from, you know, this road that we're trying to go down. It's a fair question to ask. I want to read off a couple quotes here, okay? By the way, it's not just Kyrie Irving, so let's stop saying that. I think everybody has just thrown Kyrie Irving under the bus. Let me, over the last couple of days, read off a couple things from other players. I think Lou Williams is a respected vet in this league. Here's what Lou Williams was saying, responding to somebody on Twitter. "We are fighting for radical change. Sports has been a healing factor. There we agree. In this climate, it's a distraction. I mean, look at your position. You're dying to get back in the house and drink a beer and watch us hoop, opposed to being outside fighting for your equality. That's just one aspect to look at." He goes on to say, "Y'all stop trying to tell me how to do a job you never did, LOL. If we had a game today and you leave a protest to watch it, that's a distraction. Any questions?" Okay, that's just Lou Williams' opinion there. Lou Williams doesn't speak on behalf of all the players in the NBA, but that's one person's opinion, and I understand what he's trying to say. I completely understand what he's trying to say. What Lou Williams is trying to say is the moment basketball comes back, this is a very strong likelihood. I'll use my shows as an example. I do the pre- and post-game show. I do my Lakers talk show like I do tonight. Do the Sliwa show during the week. Okay, typically what I'm accustomed to is reacting to Laker games, previewing games coming up. That's common. I've never spent so much more of my time and my conversation talking about things that have nothing to do with sports, but this is the climate that we're in. So, you know, we're obviously all adjusting to the climate, and sports will always be secondary. Sports will always be on the back burner of what's most important in life. But at the same time, we're on a sports radio station. I'm on a sports radio station. So of course, typically I talk about sports. Here's another player that is bringing up this question. Jay Crowder, to all people saying you can do both, you're right, you can. And he's talking about doing both, playing basketball and trying to raise awareness and still be a part of protests and still be a part of this change. So let me read Jay Crowder's tweet. "To all people saying you could do both, you're right, you can. But then all of your media and attention goes to highlights and ball and not the real highlights of the world." Okay, I can respect his opinion on that. Dwight Howard, member of the Los Angeles Lakers. I mean, he has a number of quotes, and they go for a while, and he's obviously very passionate what's going on. But one of the things he said, "I would love nothing more than to win my very first NBA championship, but the unity of my people would be an even bigger championship. That's just too beautiful to pass up. What better time than now for us to be focusing on our family? This is a rare opportunity that I believe we as a community should be taking full advantage of." So he goes on. It's a long tweet. Jill Martin had put up this long tweet from Dwight Howard in a statement provided by his agent to CNN. So if you want to read that, you can feel free to do so. We know Avery Bradley is heavily involved in this as well. So those are two Lakers right there. It's a fair question. That's the only point. You know, I got a chance over these last few days to listen to everybody's kind of reaction about Kyrie Irving. If a player feels that way, if they feel that this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity where you can have an incredible amount of sacrifice. I mean, just think, you know, all I've heard the last couple of days, I'm hearing that a lot of billions of dollars would be lost. Can I just say this? Regular common folks are not thinking about that. So people that are out there that, you know, protesting, or people that are out, I mean, we can't relate to those millions and billions of dollars. We say it all the time in baseball. Baseball, this has been the conversation for the last month. We don't want to hear about your millions and billions, right? Like, that's literally been the conversation. Just figure it out. Bring sports back. I admire and respect some of these people that are sitting there right now. These NBA players are saying, listen, if I have to do some sacrificing to keep this movement, I'm in. How do you not respect that? I mean, how do I, just me in my position, not look at somebody? And I understand their finances are different. I understand they're making millions of dollars. But if just to go back to it, if they're still willing to sacrifice that in order to say, we're going to put our foot down and we're not going to play basketball and this is the reason why. And all those reasons, they're coming from a good place. Now, I've heard people say, you got to have a plan. What is the plan? You can't just come out here and talk and have no substance to it. Okay, well, if we don't play, what is it going to look like? I couldn't agree with all of that. I absolutely couldn't agree more with all that. But it's still a fair question. So this is one thing that I do want to do in tonight's show. And I do have, obviously a few NBA guests coming on, so I'll get that opportunity to have that conversation with them. But one of the things I want to do on tonight's show is I want to get your opinion and your thoughts. If you're somebody that's out there driving around, and in your mind you feel very passionate that it would be good for the overall good if the NBA is played this year, and here are the reasons why, voice your opinion. Or if you're on the other side and say, I'm with some of these players that are saying, we may decide not to play because of everything going on, and we got to put our foot down right now. If we put our foot down right now, we're sacrificing a lot. We're sacrificing a lot of money, but you know what? It's worth it. Now's the time. Either way, I don't care which side that you're on. But I will say that, you know, for me, I didn't look at what Kyrie Irving was saying, what Avery Bradley was saying, what Dwight Howard was saying, what Jay Crowder, Lou Williams, some of these players that feel this way. I respect the fact that they brought up this question. Now, can it all get figured out and maybe there is basketball and there's a way to highlight everything? Maybe there is, but I want to hear more of those ideas. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. As always, I appreciate you guys tuning into the show. We'll take some calls when we come back, and we'll make sure to get your opinion. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. Jesse, how we doing over there?
Weird. Very weird.
In studio making today. It happen. Yes. Hey, look, I wanna throw this to you, and then we'll get some callers to chime in as well. 877-710-ESPN. Do you think by playing games you can actually really raise awareness and actually use all your platforms to speak about social injustice and police brutality? Or do you think that just taking these few, just think about these few individuals that have come out over these last few days and spoke? There was about 100 NBA players that were on a phone call. I think 80 to 100 players were on a phone call on Friday. Do you think their stance of, no, this could be a distraction? You know what? Let's sacrifice that $1 billion that would be lost if we finish out the season. Let's make sacrifices to actually think that we could maybe move the needle here, make change. Maybe some of those that are out there protesting on a, you know, night in, night out basis now feel like our message is really being heard. Look what just happened with the NBA. You could take either stance, and it's okay either way. But I hate how quick I feel like some of these players, specifically Kyrie Irving, and I think that has more to do with the messenger than it does with the actual message. I hate how quick some of them are being kind of dragged through the mud. Do you see what I'm saying on that, Jess? You kind of understand what I'm referring to there?
Yeah, and I think you can make, you know, there's cases to make on both sides. I think you can make a stance by not playing, and you can make a stance by playing.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
and listen, and Jess, if you take the stance of play, let's just say hypothetically this question came up from Kyrie, from Avery Bradley, and a number of these other players that said, this is our opportunity. Let's make sure that if we do end up playing, you got to do all these things to make sure that anybody that tunes into a game, anybody that watches highlights, they are just that message is repeated over and over, this is what we're playing for. This is one of the main reasons why we're playing right now. So maybe there's a way to do it, but I don't like how it's got discredited so quick, and guys like Kyrie have been just thrown under the bus when I have no way to question whether Kyrie is genuine. Why would I question whether Kyrie is genuine on this or not?
Yeah.
Like, unless you hear it from Kyrie.
Yeah, and, you know, I think a lot of things that's been kind of saying is he's kind of speaking out for the other players who are choosing not to, and that could very well be. I think they should play, and that's because I think that, you know, there are ways to do it while playing. You know, just for one example, this is the first thing that came to my head. If I was an NBA player, mm-hmm. this is what I would do. You know, mm-hmm. regardless of whether or not they're going to have people come up to the games after the games to talk about the games, whether it's LeBron, mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, Kawhi, Joel Embiid, Giannis, whoever, they're going to have sure. people come, you know, and instead maybe right before the first question by the reporters ask, you know, they can just say, you know what, before we start. And just, you know, say whether it's the names of the victims, whether you want to say go here, donate there. That's the first opportunity that popped into my head where you can easily, you know, take a stand. Or, you know,
so I wonder too, Jess, if some of these NBA players then are saying, okay, well, what is the plan? What is the plan when we go back? So tell us, how are we going to use these platforms to create, continue to create awareness? And if you guys want to be a part of the conversation, 877-710-ESPN. Let's grab a quick call here. George and Cerritos. George, I appreciate you calling in. Where do you stand on this, George? Do you think you can raise more awareness? Do you think it's more powerful? Which side do you sit on? And I hate to, you know, make it has to be one side or the other, but just hypothetically speaking, which side do you think would be more powerful?
I think the most powerful message that you could have would be to have a united front with the players. And that can only be achieved if the players finish out the season, have a conference championship, have an NBA Finals champion. Because if you have a single player here and a single player there, like Kyrie Irving or Dwight Howard and marching along protesters, that's only going to get you a five-second clip in the news, the local news, and then it's all foregone, that message. But when you are on a national stage, a world stage, when everyone's been salivating for sports, and then you have a captive audience, and you're able to say, this is what we stand for, these are the changes that we're looking for, this is what we want you to join us with, that's a very powerful message. And when you have a team returning, you're talking about the powerful effect, of domino effect of continue on to the following season. You know, if they don't return back, it's gonna be very devastating for the livelihood of a lot of players. You're talking about people who could basically, there are a lot of young players who are living paycheck to paycheck. And, you know,
well, George, let me say this. Stay with me for a quick second. So I will say that, so right off the bat, so obviously you don't think it would be a distraction, right? You think it's going to be a platform where it can actually grow, where you could get the message across more. And it's not going to be done. It's not going to be Kyrie Irving and Dwight Howard and Avery Bradley that if they're opposed to doing this and they want to take a stand, well, that's not going to stop the NBA. The only way the NBA is going to stop is you start getting some of your big time players saying, you know what? I get it. I actually see. I see what the message is here. I can see why this could be more impactful, and us sacrificing, you know, $1 billion or $1.2 billion, whatever that number is, to finish out the season. I can see if the big time players stepped up and said, you know what, basketball is just not as important as what we have right here. That's the only way it's going to happen. So it's not going to be just a couple players. It would obviously have to be a united front. But keep going on what you were saying there, George.
So when you look at, when you take the poll among all the players, you know, the majority of players want to return back. So basically, to have that united front, you're basically going to have to come back as a team and play. If these players don't come back and there is no rest of the season, you're talking about potentially not even having a season next year when they go back, and the owners are going to use this as part of the negotiation for the new collective bargaining agreement. And That's gonna make them have a weaker voice. So if anything, it is so critical that the players unite, return back, the ones who are healthy that can return back. Obviously, we don't want to have any players like Larry Nance, those players who have existing health issues,
health conditions,
force them to come back. But everybody else who's healthy, you know, I would say, and I'll obviously not penalize them if they have a personal reason for not wanting to play, but basically allowing all the fans to watch and all the players to be able to show that huge positive platform. Because when you have that world stage, and I'm telling you, everybody around the world is going to be watching this, so you're not talking about just within the continental U.S., to be able to say about all the...
It's a world sport.
Mm-hmm. The world sport, and talking about all the change that they want. And LeBron, for example, talking about the voting initiative. What a better way to encourage people to say, you know what, our voice must be heard, and the only way we can continue to have our voice heard is we have to go to the ballot.
So George, here's the question, and I thank you for I appreciate you calling in. I want to get to a couple of more of these calls. This is the one thing that I'll say. I'll say with everything that you just said, it actually makes so much sense what you just said. Will it distract from the mission? That's a question some players have. Will it distract from the mission? That's the question. Because, by the way, I'm not a fan of hearing about these. It's going to affect the CBA. And you know what? They can then crumple up. The owners can crumple up next year's deal. And that one's off the table and all that. Why are we talking about money? Like the financial part of things, I understand that some people want to talk about just the business side of it. $1.2 billion this year. What it's going to look like next year. I want to slow everything down for a quick second. If there are players talking about how they want to sacrifice what they have, they want to sacrifice at the contracts they have, it's obviously not about money. And I'm not saying that there's going to be a number of players out there that are following this lead. But I respect the damn thing. I respect them having that they want to share that message, that they think they might be a distraction to the overall mission. Lance and Torrance. Lance, I appreciate you calling in. Go ahead, bud. What's your thoughts on this?
Sorry, as an NBA fan, I just think I think it would distract from the message, and I think the players should. This would be a platform for them to take a stance and basically just sit it out, you know, and just focus on the message. Because if you're playing, sports comes back in, it kind of distracts from the whole message that's trying to be set across the country. Sending the players back and isolating them in Orlando, California, Orlando, Florida, mm-hmm. I believe that's fine, but you're isolated to one state, one city. How much of a platform can you do in one location? And then you're telling the players they're going to be isolated from their families. You're going to be gone 2 months, 3 months. I get it, but some of these players, I think a bigger message would be related across if you played in every city like you do now. Play across different states. Send the message every game from L.A. to Utah to New York. That's the bigger message if you want to play use your platform. But being isolated to a city, I don't think it's much you can get out of one city. And then my other concern. Mm-hmm. Oh, go ahead.
No, you're good, Lance. Go ahead.
And then my other concern is too. Some of these players, they rely off the crowd. They rely off their fans to win games. So it's going to be very different. It's like playing a high-level street ball game. So you're not going to get the same level of competition or same game you would have under a fan-based team. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think you'll get the same
product. The product will be different. Lance, appreciate you calling in. Let me squeeze in one more call real quick. Alan in Newport, you're on Lakers talk. Go ahead, Alan. Line four.
And I just wanted to say I believe that this will be a wrong message, and I'll tell you why. Because, you know, what the issue is that they believe that the whites are in control, so we want to fight that, so they're oppressing the blacks. And this will send the completely wrong message, saying that now that we're in control of us because we have a majority player, we're going to do the same thing. I believe overall that to a fan like us that spend their hard-earned money to watch these games and give voice to all the players, not white, black, however, all the players, because we spend all that money to get them there, to tell them, you know what, now we're not going to have this game. Because we want to send a message, I think that's wrong. Because as many people as they're out there protesting. There are millions of people, whether silent or they're not out there. So you can't punish everybody by saying that, yeah, we don't want to continue just because of this reason. So I believe the message will be bad and wrong. I believe they should continue the game, give people some hope to, you know, to watch something. And then, as the other caller said, you have the platform when the game is done to say whatever you like before, during, and after. And that will send much more message, because now you got people looking at that game, watching that game that you're talking on, rather than being home watching nothing and not listening to what it is. So I
appreciate the call. Appreciate the call, Alan. Thank you. We're coming up to a commercial break right now. Allie Clifton from Spectrum Sports Tonight is coming up. I want to say this. I can't tell you how another player feels. So if another player feels passionate about not wanting to play for his own beliefs and his own reasons, you know, I can't tell that person to do one thing or the other. My question is, and this is going to continue to be the theme of the conversation throughout the show tonight. So this is going to be kind of part of the dialogue. So I'll continue to take calls, 877-710-ESPN. But my view is this when it comes to some of these players. If that's how they feel and that's how they want to act because that's how they feel, I'm okay with it. You know, I understand it. I actually respect it. I think that's – I can sit here in my own world and say, well, I'm a fan, you know, and I want to just – I want to watch basketball. So don't inconvenience my life because I want to watch basketball. Well, that's not right. I'm just thinking of myself. I'm obviously not thinking of others. Yes, do I spend a lot of money going to games? Do I spend a lot of money with my TV, my cable package, or you have NBA TV and you bought the league pass? Of course, yes, 100% that you do. But at the end of the day, if the players took a stand, I don't know how it's all going to play out, but if they took a stand and decided, you know what, now there's a majority or big-time players don't want to play, that's a pretty damn strong message as well, because we've never seen it before. It's never happened before. Granted, none of this has ever happened before. Allie Clifton, Spectrum Sportsnet, coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. Your insurance company may have written your policy, but they don't decide the law. Call the Wallace Firm now at 844-844-WINS. By holding insurance accountable, the Wallace Firm is helping our community rebuild. That's 844-844-WINS or visit wallacewins.com. Proud partner of Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, read off a quick tweet here. Jonathan Fegan, Adam Silver on ESPN on the NBA return in a bubble environment. I can only say it may not be for everyone. It's not an ideal situation. Want to welcome in Allie Clifton from Spectrum Sportsnet. Allie, thanks for taking some time and joining the show. How are you doing?
Alan, thanks for having me. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I feel it's this last, you know, 30 days or so, We've been back and forth on whether we're going to get the NBA or we're not. And I think ultimately this will be an interesting way of how they handle some of these players that have some concerns. I get it. I just spent the first half hour sympathizing with some of those players that have them. How do you feel? Do you feel that we'll eventually get to a point where we get the opportunity to play out games and then eventually crown a champion? Or do you think this is just so incredibly complicated, and it's just a complicated time on top of that outside of COVID-19? What's your, I guess you could say, comfort level and confidence in that?
You know, Alan, it's been interesting, and I feel probably a lot like you and so many. It's a day-by-day thought process for me in terms of, I feel like I wake up every morning wondering what the latest is, if there's been a decision made, and that decision in my brain or how I'm processing it sways back and forth every single day. You know, the one thing, though, over the last several days that I feel I have kind of come to terms with is we had Kendrick Perkins on our podcast Road Tripping last week, and he made a very, I feel, purposeful and powerful statement and just thought with Richard and Channing in regards to having the best commissioner in sports and Adam Silver in the relationship between Adam Silver and the players, and understanding that voices are going to be heard, they're going to be respected, and it's going to be a decision that I feel is going to have taken a lot of thought and purpose even behind that to ultimately make the decision for whatever it's going to be for all of us. And I have confidence in knowing that whether or not we play or we don't, it's going to be for the right reasons. And, you know, again, only time will tell. But I just don't have a feeling either way because it changes every single day.
I know. I'm with you. No, I'm with you. And it's, I think you said it best
and
right there, too.
Both sides, that's the mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. And that's just so hard, not to cut you off, but that's kind of what's making this sway back and forth and happen all the time is that you hear the players and you listen to the players and you're trying to understand and feel what they're saying and what they're going through and what they're about to go through if they do return to play and on what scale and what magnitude, which many of us will never understand because we are not in their shoes. But you try to listen and take it all in. And right now there's just a lot of fluidity, I think.
Yeah. One of the things too, Allie, you know, you made mention of, you got confidence, and Perkins mentioned this when you joined your guys' road trip and podcast. But one of the things that the leadership of the NBA, right? Like, it's okay. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I think makes the NBA so great is it's okay to have the dialogue. It's okay to ask the questions. And that's, you know, really how you're going to have a healthy league, a healthy relationship, a healthy company. Like, that's probably the foundation of just those back and forth conversations that you can always have, where we look at Major League Baseball and that just seems to be, you know, an awful relationship. And that's what we're watching kind of unfold on a day in, day out basis. So I definitely agree that from an NBA perspective, we got the right leaders in play. I guess, you know, what I look back on, and actually I heard Kendrick Perkins talking about this earlier today. I think it was on First Take, maybe it was on Get Up, but one of these ESPN programs, where he's a big proponent that anybody that questions whether, you know, some of these players should play or they shouldn't, and this is based on social injustice in this country and trying to raise awareness for police brutality and really just racism in this country, that it's better to play. And I spent some time just starting off the show, and I talked about I had some listeners call in as well. How much do you think that is now just the focus? Is how, if we're going to play basketball, is it going to be about making sure that the message is not lost, that it's not distracted from, that it's not forgotten? Because it sounds like there's definitely a few players that would be one of their concerns.
You know, I think one side of this that we can all kind of take in is that it's a part of the Black community, and their message right now is that for so long they have not been heard, and they've gotten to this point that is so powerful that they don't want to be lost in translation of getting back to life and to normalcy. And I'll be honest, when this all started after the death of George Floyd, I couldn't help but draw the correlation to the fact that we have all been isolated and put at home because of COVID-19, that one of the first things that came to my mind was, I pray to God that this movement can stay as powerful and as strong if and when sports do return. And so from that standpoint and that viewpoint, you do have to think about it. And I posed that question again also to the guys on the podcast. Do you feel, if the NBA returns, that the players will make statements, whether that's vocally, whether that's by action? How and which do you think they will be able to continue as powerfully as they are now, and so many are now, when things get back to normal? And without a doubt, Kirk and the guys said, absolutely, whether it's T-shirts, whether it's taking a knee, whether it's before and after games, whether it's continuing to, as a bunch of the players are saying, take the money that will be generated and giving it back to the communities. That's where I am proud when you bring up Major League Baseball and the NBA, and I won't speak from a Major League Baseball standpoint, but when you look at the two and the positions that they're in, that's where I'm proud to be a part of a league that, again, wants to hear, wants to listen, and wants to take the most positive and impactful action that they can. And I feel confident, especially in the league's leaders and superstars, to make sure that those messages and that imprint and that mark is heard, understood, and pushed forward whether they play or not. But I feel confident that it will be if they do return to the floor.
Allie Clifton, joining the show from Spectrum Sportsnet. You know, Allie, it's been actually one of the things that I've enjoyed is watching a few of these players. When I say enjoy, it's like you're almost like you're proud of the stance, not the stance that they're taking, but how active they are. It's not for everybody. You know, if you're a player that's out there in the league, you shouldn't be forced to, you know, take a political stand or be very active on Instagram or Twitter. You don't have to do it. But some of the players that have, and I'm obviously just talking about some of the Laker players, Kuzma's been very active. Obviously, Danny Green has been a part of the protest. Avery Bradley, I don't have to tell you, he was one of the leaders on that call with Kyrie Irving a couple days ago. And then, of course, you know, LeBron James and just in general how active LeBron James has always been for most of his career when it comes to important matters like this that need to be discussed, and he's obviously headed a lot of them. What is your just kind of your take of some of these Laker players that have gone out of their way to be active, to be proactive, and to try and speak their mind? And obviously, all these followers that they have in front of them, they're helping in some way to try and influence in a positive manner.
You know, I've never been so like locked in, focused. Attention to detail for such a cliche phrase there to what I'm reading, seeing, watching from the entire NBA, but to specific to this conversation, the Lakers. It's inspiring. It's motivating. As you mentioned to start the question, it's not easy. It's uncomfortable. It's again been a conversation, a movement, a place of action that is long overdue. And you know, a bunch of these guys, you hear them say a lot of what I've, and I get chills thinking about it, a lot of what you hear and what I've heard just being as close to it as I have since being in the NBA over the last 8-9 years, especially, is guys want to be known, athletes want to be known for bigger than just their respective sport. Hmm. And right now, there's no bigger time than to be known for something bigger than your sport. And you're seeing a bunch of guys who, whether it's the feelings of Avery Bradley right now, who is not a man of very many words, is finding the courage in his voice to make those feelings and make that mark heard. Or it's LeBron James continuing to educate, to learn, to listen, and to step outside of himself, of so many, and being that uncomfortable space. Danny Green with the marches. Again, sometimes you don't need to say anything, but your actions are speaking for right now. And these guys are putting their foot where their mouth is, and it's inspiring and it's motivating. And like you said, it's proud, such a weird word, but it's what it is. You're proud.
Yeah.
You're proud to be a part of it, to know them, to understand it. And as we often say right now, to be alongside of them.
Have you, Allie, got a chance? I mean, did you spend last week at all just kind of thinking about, okay, basketball's coming, so here's where the Lakers are going to be. Okay, there's these six teams that the Lakers could potentially face in the first round. Who would they face in the second round? Have you got that opportunity to do that? I did that for a few days, and then that kind of, you know, quickly, just because of the conversation started changing, that you know, certainly stopped. But have you looked at what the plan is going to be and just how it affects the Lakers, positive, negatively? How do you look at, if we do get back to basketball in Orlando, how it's set up for the Lakers?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because it is like you find the time to kind of focus on it a little bit. But even like our weekly roundtable show wasn't about it. It was all about what's bigger and going on in our world right now. So, yeah, like you have those moments. But then again, I just feel like even whatever it is that we are going to watch unfold, if they do get back to playing, it's just going to be such a different playing field that I'm just anxious to see what players look like, who really took this quarantine period, serious, who's in shape, who's not. So yeah, those are all things that you do obviously think about. It's our job. It's what we do. And you got to be professional and understand that there is a time that this could potentially come back. You got to be ready for it. But there's also that 30-day period of training camp where I'm going to use those opportunities to really dive into, oh, what does this matchup look like? Do the mm-hmm. Lakers want to see this team? Do they not? What players look mm-hmm. great? You know what I'm saying? So I haven't dove too heavily into it, but it has crossed my mind. I just need to see the teams during those 30 days of training camp, if that comes to fruition, to see really what things look like.
No, you almost forgot. I mean, it's like, I don't want to say you forgot about basketball, but I think last week, Andy Kamenitsky had joined the show, and it was right after we had just, you know, figured out, okay, this is what the structure is going to look like. It's going to be 22 teams that come in. And he had these kind of what each matchup would look against all six teams. And I'm reading through it, and I'm joking around with Andy, you know, during the show. I'm like, Andy, you remember that game? I mean, everything seems so long ago, you know, like when we actually played yeah. or when we went to Staples Center or there was something obviously in your guys' studio, it just seems like it was so long ago.
Oh, it seems like it was a completely different, it's going to feel like a different season within itself.
Yeah.
But that's when it comes down to actual basketball, it's going to kind of be the beauty of it all. Mm-hmm. It's a 3-month window, and whoever is going to be in the greatest of their respective, you know, the team, et cetera. I think you have to factor in the fact that there's not going to be fans.
Yeah.
And I've listened to some podcasts and the psyche that can take on an individual and a player. And, you know, for so long, like we had Kuz on last week and, you know, he's talking about the Laker faithful and that fan base being the best in the league. And, you know, it's what you play the regular season for, to gain home court advantage. You know, I was talking to Perk, and he asked if there was a dark horse that could ultimately win the championship. And I picked Denver. And Richard said, back it up, Allie. A lot of what goes into home court advantage and the success of the Denver Nuggets is the altitude that no longer will be there.
That's right.
And it's like, oh, you got to think about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'll be all fun when it comes to, if again, this gets back to it, those little things, those little details, that could really be the difference between winning and losing.
Allie, final question. Just, you know, when you look at LeBron James' career, and I know you've been covering him for a while, and we're covering him back in Cleveland. Did you think, I mean, was this always kind of, I don't know if this is the right way to put it, LeBron's plan of, it wasn't just going to be about basketball, like you mentioned. I've seen some of his quotes where he says he doesn't want to be remembered for just what he did on the court. I guess you could say as his career progressed, did it feel like he was becoming more and more active where he felt like, damn, I can really actually have this big difference on the community or on social issues or on things that I'm just passionate about, I feel like are important. Is that something that you think could just kind of progress the more time he spent in the league? Or is this something that he always felt like I'm going to be different than some of those other superstars in the past, where this is something I embrace rather than I kind of back away from?
You know, the one thing I've always, it's a good question, Alan, and I feel like I need more time to think about it to an extent, but the natural response for me and just my experience having worked alongside him is that the one thing I learned very quickly about LeBron is he's always one step ahead, whether that's on the court or off the court. But when you often hear the story about him being thrust into the spotlight at such a young age, I don't think that he knew at that time what it would look like, but I believe he understood a passion and a goal and had a dream, so to speak, right, in mind of what he wanted to achieve. And he had everything within him to ultimately achieve that. And I think that's what we continue to see unfold. And it's because at such a young age, you know, when Bron speaks about what he went through in Akron, Ohio, at a very young age, being raised by a single mother, sometimes on the street late at night by himself and barely passing fourth grade and having to do stacks of extra credit work, as he mentioned to us on a podcast a couple of years back. These are all things that I believe he has allowed to shape and mold him and always be a part of his identity. And a lot of that has stemmed off the court. And he has just found ways and continues to find ways to figure out how to intertwine it within the game of basketball and being so great at what he does between the lines. That I said it the other day on our show, when that individual, when LeBron James is so passionate, believes in something, and has educated himself on something, it is my responsibility to listen, to learn, and educate alongside of him. It's just what he continues to do and prove, and it's a testament to what he has done, to your point, more so than anything, off the court. And he's in the biggest fight, I believe, of his career right now. And I have not a lot of words. There's not a lot of words in dictionary, in the vocabulary, to really capitalize on who he is as a man, along with who he is as a basketball player.
Allie, well put. Thank you for thanks for doing this, all right? I appreciate it. Always love getting your insight. So thanks for taking some time and joining the show, okay?
Anytime. Thanks for having me, Alan.
All right. Thank you, Allie. All right. That's Allie Clifton right there, Spectrum Sportsnet. All right. Great stuff from her. By the way, we got a number of different players and analysts that I do want to hear from. Steven Jackson was on Instagram Live. Woj with the latest on the NBA and what's the NBA's next step. Michael Wilbon was on PTI. Talks about players need to play to get a platform for their message. So we'll play some of that when we come back. 877-710-ESPN. If you have a thought on this, I'll make it very clear. And I, like I mentioned, this will be the theme of the show tonight. Is it more powerful for players to not play? Is it more powerful for players to put their foot down, sacrifice billions of dollars, and decide, you know what, let's make sure that the protesting that's going on across this country, the awareness is going on in this country, that there's no distractions towards that, or that would actually not help. And by playing, you raise the awareness, and you could find ways to play to accomplish both. We'll talk about that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show. Oh, I'm sorry. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right. Thank you to Allie Clifton. Brad Turner coming up in a few minutes as well from the LA Times. Kind of continue this conversation. Let me play something from Steven Jackson, who was on Instagram Live. Jess, how much do you remember Steven Jackson as a player? How much do you go back and remember just kind of his style and the way he played? Do you remember or no?
No, I don't remember a whole lot of him. I'll tell you what I do remember of him, though, is his shoes.
Good shoes or no?
I don't remember, but I just remember they're really cheap.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was years ago at this. I'm pretty sure there was Steven.
I didn't
Jackson
know he had
shoes.
I didn't know.
Oh
had,
no, you know what? Sorry, it wasn't. It was Marbury's. It was Marbury's.
Yeah. Marbury had his shoe.
Yeah. So Jackson.
Well, and this is why I mention it. I just mention it because – sorry to cut you off right there, but I mention it because he was a feisty player. You know, one of those players that I remember him and Kobe would have battles. He's told some hilarious stories about him and Kobe when they used to go at each other. But he won a championship with the San Antonio Spurs. One of those players that obviously, like I mentioned, just very feisty. He's very opinionated. Remember we had Matt Barnes on maybe about a month ago or so? I love that combination of Barnes and Steven Jackson. They're so raw, right? Everything they talk about is so from the heart. You don't have to worry about is there something behind. No, this is somebody speaking from the heart. So Steven Jackson was on Instagram Live. I want to play this real quick. This is his thoughts on what NBA players should do.
Hey, what up, world? Man, I love the NBA, man. That's my family. But now ain't the time to be playing basketball, y'all. Now ain't the time. Playing basketball is going to do one thing. Take all the attention off the task at hand right now, what we fighting for. Everybody going to be worrying about the playoffs. They're going to have all that blasted all over the TV. And nobody's going to be talking about getting justice for all these senseless murders by these police. And nobody's going to be focusing on the task at hand, bro. None of these white owners have spoken up. None of them are taking a stand. Yeah, they might post a video when the season start of saying what we should do, but they ain't doing nothing. Playing basketball ain't going to do nothing but make them money and take the attention of what we fighting for, what we marching for. It's bigger than all of us, and it's bigger than the game, and it's sad that we still got to explain that to people, bro. Sad.
All right, that's Steven Jackson's take right there. Look, Jess, when I hear somebody like that speaking from the heart. That's why I mentioned it earlier, I sympathize with some of these players. I do, because I can't put myself in any of their shoes, and I could only imagine, you know, what their shoes are like for somebody who's not in the NBA, right? Somebody who is waking up in the morning and just going to work and has grown up under tough circumstances. Not every player is obviously making, or not every individual out there is making millions of dollars of money. And I feel like sometimes that gets washed, like the back and forth of that gets washed. Let me play another one. This is kind of to go against what Steven Jackson just mentioned right there. Michael Wilbon, who was on PTI, obviously pardon the interruption, he has a message as well. His message different than Steven Jackson.
There are two different dynamics at play here. One is the bubble and concern people might have over that, over the coronavirus. Can they be kept safe? How legitimate is the plan for the bubble? Do they feel that that's adequate? There's that issue. And then there's the issue of whether or not people should be playing because of the protests in the aftermath of George Floyd. And Tony, just let me say this. If you got concerns about coronavirus, I understand that. People will have concerns. Some guys have voiced that. But for Kyrie Irving and Dwight Howard to say, we don't want to work because we want to pay attention, that's your platform, gentlemen. You're not college professors. You're not musicians. You're not the heads of industry of science and technology. Everybody has a platform at a certain level. You are elite, skilled athletes with an enormous platform. Use it. If you don't use it, that would be shameful and irresponsible. Use it. You got a microphone every day. Pick up the mic and open your mouths. You can continue the dialogue. Charles Barkley said it best this morning on Get Up when he said, what are they talking about? Out of sight, out of mind. What are you saying? You're before the public on one of the two great international sports stages in the world, soccer and basketball. So what are you saying? We don't want to play. This is what you do to hold people captive. You've got to be that smart. And if you're not that smart, there are people surrounding you who are that smart. I know Austin Rivers and others get it. And so, Tony, I must think there's still going to be a season. They're still going to play. Coronavirus issues, the bubble, that's over here. I understand it. No. We just don't want to play because we don't want to distract attention. What? That's insane reasoning.
I don't know if it's insane. I really don't. I don't know if it's insane. Now, unless there is a plan that brings NBA, of course it's going to be in the forefront. Of course it's going to be on everybody's mind. But I don't think it's out of the ordinary when some of these players say, our concern is it's going to distract away from the message. That one is tough for me to comprehend why there are so many people out there that believe that some of these players are taking a stand is just crazy to them. I don't think it's crazy. Why would it be crazy? If that's something that they feel in their heart, if they truly genuinely believe that by going back to games, I'll tell you what I'm going to be doing when games start up again. Of course, I'll mention if there is, if there's some type of tributes or some type of ways to raise awareness, of course I'll do it on my platform. Why wouldn't I? But I think there's also going to be a ton of people that just come in for the games and then they get out. All right, Brad Turner from the LA Times coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, we appreciate everybody that's been tuning in. Want to welcome in Brad Turner from the LA Times. Brad, thanks for doing this, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Adam. How you doing, man?
Good, good. All is good. Just, you know, another Monday night, and I think we're all watching and taking a look, and what does Adam Silver have to say, and what's happening in Twitter? What's the latest with the NBA? What do you think, right. BT? What do you think the latest is?
Man, well, what time is it? 7:33? Things change so fast.
Oh, man,
you know,
they do.
I just watched the commissioner on ESPN. Mm-hmm. A little while ago, and I also saw Damian Lillard, and I just love what Dame had to say because he understood all sides of this. He understood what Kyrie was saying. He understands why guys want to play. He understands why guys don't want to play. There's just so many parts to it, and it's remaining so fluid. I mean, in the end, I think they would end up playing the games. Mm-hmm. I think some players may actually sit out that you would be surprised by. Hmm. And I think there would be some relaxation with the bubble situation. I don't know that for sure, but I think that's something that could potentially happen to help ease their minds some more.
So, Brad, let's do this. Let's tackle one thing at a time here. So that conference call on Friday, obviously headed by Kyrie Irving and Avery Bradley, a big part of that as well.
Right.
Overall, what do you think of those players that are trying to send a message and they feel like by not having games, that message could be more powerful? So what can you kind of just describe in your eyes how they feel that it could actually have a bigger impact than playing? And I've been mentioning this throughout the show. I think it's a fair question to have. You know, it's never been done before, right? Where a league just – players just put their foot down and say, you know what, this isn't big enough than, you know, what we should be doing over here. So how do you feel like those players are trying to express their opinion and how they could be more impactful by not playing?
Well, my thoughts on that was that they now know they have this big platform and people are listening to them. And they have had these situations where they've been stopped by police officers. They've had friends that have been stopped, maybe even have friends that have been murdered by cops. So they feel that pain. They see those videos. They watch parents talk about that. And they realize if it wasn't for basketball, maybe that would have been one of them. When you think about where they grew up, what they had to deal with. So what they're saying, in my opinion, is that basketball will take away from that. The NBA will take away from the message. If we play these games, all we're doing now is entertaining some of the same people who hate us, some of the same people that are willing to not give us equality. And that's what I think they want. They want justice and equality for everyone. They have not seen that. We have not seen that. And if we play this game of basketball, it takes away from the protests, from the marches, from what everyone's trying to get accomplished out there.
Yeah, it seems like, Brad, you know, there's obviously going to be two sides to this. And I don't think, I mean, when you hear Dwight Howard and you read his comments and, you know, look, Dwight is coming from a place, it's a beautiful, his whole quote on CNN, it's a beautiful quote. I mean, if you take the time and you say to yourself, okay, this is somebody who's never won a championship, but would be willing to, you know, obviously sacrifice that opportunity because there's something bigger in mind, I respect it. And I think there's, you know, I think you have to respect it. At the same time, there's a lot of folks, you know, I just played Michael Wilbon a few minutes ago. And if you got a chance, Stephen A. Smith was obviously vocal. Kendrick Perkins, there's a lot of players or a lot of reporters and probably players as well that are saying, okay, that's not the way to do it. Yes, accomplish what you want to accomplish, but that's not the way to do it. Where do you stand? Do you see both sides of it, and where would you lean where it could be more impactful one way or the other?
Well, I see both sides of it, but I lean more towards playing the game because I think we have a bigger microphone and a megaphone to get those points across. I think that One example I give to my friends is if the Lakers are playing Memphis on a Friday night at 8 o'clock and there's a protest at 8 o'clock on Friday night, would a protester say, hey, I'm not going to go to this protest. I want to watch that game? Maybe, but I don't think that's the case. As my man Dave Chappelle said in his stand-up show the other day,
8:46,
the streets
yep.
are talking. I don't think the streets will stop talking just because they start playing basketball, just because they become, as they quote, become a distraction. I don't think that stops the movement at all. I think it helps to push the movement along farther. I mean, I think if they have PSAs during the course of timeouts during the game, if they wear their shirts that say, I can't breathe, if they have different things on their shoes, and more importantly, if they continue to make money for playing this game that they love and then reinvest that money into their communities, then I think that's the biggest thing. That helps even more. And if you start talking about going to vote more, then you're helping more because you're doing those things, you're saying those things every single day for maybe 100 days. Think about that. I think that's a bigger impact than not playing, because if you don't play, will you go out and protest every day? Will you get on social media and try to get involved in it? What would you do if you don't play the game? And eventually, how do you feed your families? How do you help your communities out if you're not being paid for playing the game that you love?
Well, BT, Brad Turner from the LA Times joining Lakers Talk. BT, I think if we get basketball and it's in Orlando and we get a chance to, you know, have this training camp and regular season and then playoffs and eventually crown a champion, I think everything that you just said, it will 100% be done in the sense of awareness will be raised. And you know these players have never felt more confident about being comfortable with raising their voice, right? These players have never felt more comfortable with having their opinion be heard at a time like this, right? So I do feel that eventually if we do get basketball, the platform will most definitely be as strong as possible. And BT, maybe some of it is now even more just because there are some players saying that, well, unless, you know, this really makes sense, why would we play? Maybe it helps just because they had that conversation and that conference call.
Yeah, I think it does. There's no question because they're now thinking more than just about themselves. They're thinking about basically their people because, what, 85% of the players are African-Americans in the NBA, and they have big voices. And again, as I said before, they have come from these same communities where they have seen police brutality, where they have seen black men and women get murdered by cops, and they wonder why. Why couldn't there be some more resistance there? So they understand all these things. So I just still think the idea that they're discussing this among themselves, it shows me that they are motivated to do something. They're willing to sacrifice a lot to help make some change. And if it takes sitting out, some guys obviously are willing to do that. But if it also takes playing the game and providing some sort of small normalcy, but also using your megaphone during the course of those games to get a message across and to make sure that these little kids understand that it's more than just about basketball, then I think that also helps.
Hey, Brad, you mentioned something when we just started about maybe relaxing some of the stuff in this bubble. What has the thought process from a player's perspective just been has it been pretty critical, and just how these players are going to just sit in this bubble? You can't really do anything else. We see, by the way, if there's concern from NBA players, it's fair to say that there should be concern. We saw what happened. The Dallas Cowboys and the Houston Texans had a few players from each side. Recently, one of them, Ezekiel Elliott, test positive for COVID-19. We know there's some different states across the country where they're trending in the wrong direction. They're going up, actually, in COVID-19 cases. Maybe that's because all the rules are, you know, obviously more lax now than when we were in our lockdown. How much of a concern do you feel that is from the players, from the coaches, to even have the ability of having a season strictly based on COVID-19?
There are a lot of guys that are concerned about that. And my understanding is there are some players whose wives are pregnant, and so their fear is going to play this game in the bubble, but yet someone still comes up positive, and then they take that back to their pregnant wives, or they take it back to their wives and their parents, and then their little ones anyway. So that is a fear that's legitimate and that they have to be worried about. You know, but the NBA seems to believe that the safest environment actually will be in that bubble. Can they be absolutely 100% sure no one's going to test positive? No, they cannot. It is not foolproof. That's just not the case. It won't happen. But the idea that they're going to do all this testing, they're going to take every necessary step possible to try and keep these guys healthy, then I think they're trying to help to alleviate some of that concern.
Brad Turner from the LA Times joining Lakers Talk. BT, it's interesting these last couple of weeks. I mean, we went from a moment there saying, okay, hey, the league is back. This is what it's going to look like. Oh, it's a 22-game structure. 22 teams will be invited. They'll increase the rosters 15 to 17. And now I think I just got this feeling where every day is just going to be a little bit different, you know, and I applaud the effort of trying to make the season happen. I applaud the effort of a lot of these players speaking their mind right now with, you know, obviously the social injustice in this country and racism that still exists. I appreciate what's happening in the NBA when you compare it to some of the other leagues out there. I feel like the NBA is in a good place, but at the same time, there's really no way of, you know, predicting what's going to happen tomorrow, let alone 2 months from now, 3 months from now, or if we get a chance to crown a champ.
Absolutely true. And we just don't know. Heck, we don't know what may happen in a half an hour from now when it comes to the NBA. Mm-hmm. Things seem to be changing so fast. But I still believe that they will play the games. And I just think what end up happening is that some players we expect to play, we want to see play, will change their minds and decide not to play. And there's nothing bad about that. You can't view them in any kind of bad way if that's their decision that they make for their own reason, whether it's health, social issues, whatever it might be. But I think the games will go on. And I think eventually we will see something positive, or maybe something more positive, come out of this because the NBA is back playing again.
BT, does Michael Thompson owe you any wine? I know he always was behind on his wine. How is he with his IOUs?
Let's just say if the question's being asked, the answer is yes. Of course he does. I mean, I did all that free work for him during the season when we played, and I'm still waiting for something from this guy. Come on.
Okay. So nothing. So that front hasn't changed. How's not at all. How's your the chef Turner working out in the kitchen? You've been on your game.
As we speak, I am making a really simple meal today, and it's just some spaghetti with some smoked sausage. It's wheat spaghetti, and you know I have to have veggies, and those are some peas, and I'll have a little salad, and I'll have a glass of wine, despite the fact I did not get it from Michael Thompson.
The chef is in the house. Brad Turner, we will let you go. Enjoy your great dinner and your glass of wine. Thanks for joining the show, bud.
Alan, thanks for having me on, my friend.
All right, Brad. We'll talk to you soon. That's Brad Turner from the LA Times right there. Quick reminder, 710 ESPN wants to salute all of our frontline workers as part of our Thank You Thursdays presented by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. If you know someone who is working as a healthcare provider, firefighter, EMS worker, or food service professional, nominate him or her today. Here's how you do it. Email the station, ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com, with your first and last name, city, and occupation. Or post a short video on Instagram or Twitter and include the hashtag 710ThankYouThursdays. Every Thursday, we'll interview a frontline worker and award them a $500 thank you gift to include a $200 service to Valvoline Instant Oil Change, $100 gift card to Wingstop, VSLiquor.com, and Shooteria.com. The commissioner of the NBA, Adam Silver, was with Mike Greenberg just a little bit ago. We come back, we'll play some of that sound for you. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.